Support for Noble and Roosh is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That's right, they obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, and we have an exclusive offer for Noble and Roosh listeners, 20% off and free shipping with the code GNR at manscaped.com. That's GNR at manscaped.com. You're listening to the Noble and Roosh Show, brought to you by Ball is Life and Dash Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Noble and Roosh Show, hosted by Ball is Life. I'm your host, Roosh Willigan, the Master Don, with my co-host, Zach Noble. And if you listen to this podcast, then it's no secret that I'm a lifelong Houston Rockets fan. So today, I'm actually really excited. Because we're lucky enough to be joined by the Rockets' very own, Armani Brooks. Armani, thanks for coming, man. How you living? How you doing?
I'm doing good, my man. I appreciate y'all for having me on here.
Yeah, likewise.
First rookie from this class, so we're pumped. You're our guy from now on. You're locked in, and your career's only going to take off from here, as does most guys that come on the Ball is Life show. It's just the way it's going.
Hey, well, hopefully y'all can rub some good luck on me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So speaking of, man, I wanted to start off talking about your journey to the NBA, because, you know, you left Houston, if I'm not mistaken, the University of Houston after your junior year. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Mm-hmm. You entered the draft. You go undrafted. You get into the G League, and then you start balling out a little bit, and then COVID hits, right?
Man.
And then
after COVID.
Yeah. So after COVID, if I'm not mistaken, again, you go up to Canada. You're about to go up to Canada. And then obviously COVID hits. And so you have to sit out. Mm-hmm. And then the G League comes back and the Vipers take you. Mm-hmm. And then you get your shot and you prove yourself. You and Kevin Porter Jr. were balling out for the Vipers in the G League, had yourselves a run. And then you get called up to the Rockets, and now the rest is history. So, like, can you walk us through that, all the mental gymnastics and kind of everything that was going through your mind on that journey?
Yeah, you know, when I first left Houston, I was really just taking a chance on myself. I was like, man, like, I feel like I had a really good year. I didn't want to risk coming back, you know, having some kind of setback, you know, God willing, nothing like that ever happened. But that was my mindset at that moment. And I was like, I'm gonna just take a chance. I was getting really good feedback from NBA teams. You know, I think I had 17 NBA workouts. So like I almost worked out for more than half the league. So, and my agent was just saying like, this is really good. Like, I think you can get drafted. So I'm like, I'm gonna go, let's get it. Took the chance, obviously didn't get drafted, which is heartbreaking. Cause you know, growing up as a kid, you want to hear your name get called on draft night.
Let me pause you right there. You don't get drafted. What's your immediate thought? Like, draft night happens, Armani Brooks' name doesn't get called. What's going through your head?
Honestly, I was like, I should have went back to school. That was the first thing I thought. I should have just went back for my senior year.
So doubt and regret at that
time. Yeah, basically. Yeah, doubt, regret, and just really upset because I thought I had a legitimate chance, you know, just the feedback I was getting from what my agent was saying. So I was really genuinely upset about that. And I was pretty down for a couple of days. And, but once I figured it out, I was like, man, I just gotta get it out this way. I was like, I gotta do it regardless. I can't just quit. So, play summer league with Washington, didn't really play that well, just a lot of learning. And it's a big jump. And summer league is I feel like it's a hard place for a rookie to really succeed. And, you know, so it's just, you don't have that much time to adjust, I feel like. So like, you know, you go to the team, you have a training camp for like a week, maybe. So like, but it's like 20 players at the training camp. So it's so much learning going on and so much adapting. And it's just a lot to learn the entire NBA system in a week when you literally out there fighting for a contract. And, you know, so it's a lot, I feel like it's a lot of pressure too. So, you know, played through summer league, and then I signed an Exhibit 10 with the Hawks. go to training camp with them. It went, you know, I started playing decent at training camp once I started getting familiar with the, you know, the players and the schemes and the system and the, you know, just the NBA game and getting familiar with everything. So they waived me. I go to the G League team, struggled a little bit, couldn't really find consistent minutes early in the year, but you know, two ways get called up and people get signed. So minutes came later in the season and I started playing well, you know, I was just getting adjusted, getting comfortable. And then I was playing really well and me and my agent were thinking that I was a 10-day candidate that year. And then COVID hits after one of our games in Toronto. So COVID hit. At first, when we first found out about COVID, we was kind of like, COVID, like they making a big deal out of nothing. And yep. then the whole country shut down. So,
yeah, as soon as Rudy Gobert put his hands all over that microphone, I feel like the whole world changed.
It changed literally overnight. It felt like it happened overnight. They canceled our season. So we went back to Atlanta. We were just kind of stuck there for like 4 days, you know, while the G League decided what they were going to do. And eventually we just all went home. And then we were in quarantine for however long, you know, there was no basketball being played, no gyms open,
yep,
nothing. It was just nothing. Like the world was at a standstill, it felt like. And so that was a really big, that was probably the worst. This past year was probably the hardest year I've ever had, like in terms of trying to stay prepared. Cause there was so much unknowing going on.
For sure.
Like you didn't know when the season was going to come back around. You didn't know when basketball was going to be played. Like it was just a lot. So I was literally just working out every day from like, I'll say like June until the G League bubble started. I was literally working out every day, just
in like a private high school gym, or what are we talking?
Just my trainer that I have in Austin right now with me. He has like a gym in South Austin. So I was just working out down there every day, you know, lifting weights and just working on my game and just waiting to get that call or getting an update or just something so that, you know, just have some positive energy and get some motivation to do it. And it was really hard. I took time in between because I was like, I felt like I was losing my mind because it was just like, I'm working out for no reason. Like, what am I working out for right now?
Yeah. Like, and especially for you who was in limbo, didn't know what was next for yourself. I mean, it's definitely harder in that situation when you were ideally hoping to be on a professional team and locked into a contract. I mean, that was why you left college and what the dream was. But how long did you go before you started back up in the G League?
I think it was probably about, I said like 7 months.
Holy shit. That's probably the longest break of basketball in your life, I bet.
Ever. That was the longest ever I went without playing an organized game. And it was so, oh my God, it was bad. Like I just mentally, it was more mentally than physically. You were just like, bro, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, why am I doing this? But, it obviously, you know, it had a reason behind it. So the G League bubble starts up. I go to the Vipers in the first round.
And that was easy. Like, you're for sure locked in there. That was easy to get picked up by them, right?
Yeah. Once we found out they were having like a draft and Atlanta's team actually opted out. So I would have been an exhibit 10 with Atlanta again, but they opted out of the bubble. So that's how I got into the draft pool.
You mean contractually, like you, that would have been obligated or you would have chosen to do that?
I would have chosen to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that I probably would have did that with them but you know, they opted out of the bubble. So I entered into the free agency pool, the draft pool. And at first, I'm not going to lie, like the draft pool has some pretty crazy names in it. So right. I was kind of like, I'm like, there's Lance Stevenson in here and like, you know, Alonzo Trier. So I'm sitting there like, bro, I might not even get drafted. Like what's going on? But I guess the teams, I found out eventually, like a day before the draft, like they're like, oh no, teams are really high on you. So like, you're going to get drafted. I was like, okay, cool. So go to the Vipers, go down to the bubble, get familiar with everything. And once games start, just in my mind, I'm like, bro, I have to play my absolute best every game. Like this is it's a shortened season.
For sure.
So I was like, I just got to go out there and perform. And, you know, I was lucky enough to do that.
Tell me, how long in the bubble did it take you to realize, like, this is going to get you to the league? How many games, how many practices? Like, when did you know that this was your step to get there? I know it was going to happen quick.
Probably after the first game. Wow. I was kind of like, yeah, first game. So we go out and I think we lost to the 905. Like they beat us by like 25 or something. It was bad. But I was like, this is my, like, I have to come out here and perform, like, to get to the NBA. Obviously, you know, the G League isn't, there's nothing wrong with playing in the G League, but that's not my personal end goal. Like, I didn't want to just be in the G League my whole career. And so I was like, I have to just find a way to take my game to the next level. And I really tried to do that throughout that next stretch of the 14 games throughout the bubble.
So you're in the G League during the James Harden drama?
Yes, I believe.
So did that have any impact? Like, are you sitting there thinking, oh, the Rockets are about to blow this up. This might actually be my chance.
Honestly, I wasn't even looking at it like that. I really wasn't paying that much attention to, like, obviously I'd see what was going on Twitter and stuff like that. But in terms of, like, maybe they'll give me an opportunity, I'd never even, like, I didn't think that, like, James not being there would have any effect on that. I was like, James is one of the best players in the NBA. Like, what is what does him not being there have to do with me?
So, that makes sense. So, different question. The Rockets get Kevin Porter Jr. and he gets assigned down to the G League. And once he does, y'all start kind of taking off. Y'all were competing to win the G League for real.
Yeah.
Can you describe what that was like playing with him, chemistry, just all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, just he's so talented, man. Like, and I think it's just such natural talent that it's like he just attracts so much attention when he's on the floor. And it was even worse in the G League because he can really just, like, oh my God, he was doing whatever he wanted all the time. And so, like, I was like, bro, if I could just learn to pick my spots with this dude, let him do all the driving and creating, and I just make shots when he passes me the ball, like, I'm fine. I mean, like, I'm not, I kind of came to the realization, like, if I'm going to be an NBA player, it's not going to be me, you know, being a Russell Westbrook, you know, going into the lane, dunking on people. Like, that's not what I do. I just got to make shots and, you know, do the other things, you know, play defense, rebound, and, you know, make plays here and there when the opportunity presents itself. And I feel like I did that pretty well.
So looking back on the time in the G League, how much more, or if at all, you think, did it prepare you for the NBA than like a senior year of college would have, you think?
Just the schemes in the NBA are so much different than they are in college in terms of how you play, because there's not as much just ball movement, I guess you could say. Like, there's normally you'll come down, run a single action, and then it just breaks down into a pick and roll at the end of the day. And so just being able to learn how to play off of that is so good because you get the opportunity to really learn an NBA system, NBA schemes on defense, adjusting to the height and athleticism of everybody because everyone's athletic. Everyone can score. You know, everyone's just good or they wouldn't be playing. And, you know, adjusting to the defense in 3 seconds is huge because you don't even realize how big of a hurdle it is until you're sitting in the lane. You're like, oh, wow, they just got a technical free throw because I didn't get out the lane fast enough. So there's a lot of things, you know, little nuances that you have to get ready for to play in the NBA, and the G League is a great preparation for that.
That's a rule that needs to be in college ASAP.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree 100%.
I feel like college, honestly, man, I feel like college basketball is one big three-man weave these days. It's like y'all just keep handing it off on the perimeter, delayed handoff, whatever, boom, 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 and then, you know, it's just like clogged up.
Yeah.
Let it spread out. I feel like the talent is there to run more pick and roll. Like, I don't know, like I went to Texas. I went to University of Texas.
Yeah.
And Mo Bamba, like Shaka Smart was posting Mo Bamba up. And I'm just like, why are you not running a pick and roll and throwing it over the top with Mo Bamba?
That's all you got to do. He's going to dunk it every time.
Every time. I don't get it. But so, okay, man. So then you get called up to the league. Mm-hmm. You debut against the Clippers. I think you come off the bench like in garbage time or something. You play like 2 or 3 minutes. And then you start playing for real. First couple games, you come out and you're on fire. Mm. And then you go through a stretch. I think it's 8 games. I think you started 5 of them. And you just kind of go cold. You're shooting, I think, 27% from 3 over that stretch on like 7.5 attempts a game, scoring maybe like 6 or 7 a game. What was going through your mind at that time? Were you thinking, okay, maybe I'm not cut out for this, or were you thinking I just got to keep shooting and eventually they're going to fall?
Yeah, I think after the Phoenix game, I think I played pretty well that night. And I think after that, I just kind of put too much expectation on myself and too much pressure. Like I came out like, okay, I got to do this every single game or maybe I won't be here. You know what I'm saying? So like, I was just coming out every game thinking like I have to repeat that performance. And you know, you can't play like that. Like, you can't play with that much pressure on your shoulders, like thinking that my entire career is on the line every time I shoot a shot. And I, like, once I finally got to the stage to where I was like, okay, man, like if I miss a shot, I miss. If I make it, I make it. Like, that's when I started, you know, I started playing freely again, and, you know, my confidence got back right. And that's when I started playing well again.
You know, I think a lot of people over, like, fans overanalyze that kind of stuff, right? Like, I remember seeing on Twitter people saying, oh, you know, maybe Armani Brooks isn't what we thought. Maybe he's not an NBA player. And I'm just sitting there thinking, he can shoot, man. Like, the ball's just not going in. But as soon as the ball goes in, you're going to change your mind. It's just a matter of when that shot drops. And then obviously you freed up your confidence. You got into a rhythm. You're filling shots and you just took off. Right? You ended up shooting, I think, 38% for the season on 21 games. So basically 25% of the season. Average, what, 10, 11 points, double digits in your rookie campaign?
I believe 11, yes, sir.
You know, don't lie.
11.2 to be exact.
So what does that feel like? Like, do you, is the weight lifted? Is have you answered that question to yourself? Like, obviously, you think in the back of your head, you know you can hoop at that level. But now that you can look at the stats and say, yeah, like, you can't argue with that. Is it that kind of feeling?
Yeah, it's just like, it's fulfilling to know that I've had good performances in the best league in the world. And, you know, all the work that you put in behind the scenes, you know, all the extra film, all the weights, like, it's paying off. And it shows when you play well. And obviously, like, you know, you can't play well every single night. Like, it doesn't happen like that. But I feel like the biggest obstacle is just being able to mentally prepare yourself to be like, okay, like, if I play bad, there's going to be people talking negative about you on social media. And if you play good, they're going to talk good about you on social media. So it's like, you have to learn how to just not pay attention to any of it. Like, whether the good or the bad, you just got to block it. Like, everything is neutral. So, like, if I would get on Twitter and see people saying, like, you know, Armani Brooks isn't an NBA player, I would just be like, I mute it. I just mute it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to block you. I'm not going to be petty about it. But, like, I'm going to mute you because I don't want to look at it. Even if you were talking good, like, I'm going to mute you too, because I don't even want to see anything about me on my feed. Now, if the Rockets post something.
Why even go through that? You know, why even put those type of thoughts in your head? You know, just got to be numb to it. You really do. For context, though, I mean, out of the 60 guys that were drafted, I mean, you were number one for undrafted guys, obviously, but you had fallen number 8 in points per game throughout this whole class. But 3-point percentage, you're even higher. You're right tied for about 8, 9. But more attempts than some of those guys, if you get really into it. What was Steven Silas's role when you first came in? And your growth, and what was his expectations for you? How was that relationship kind of manifest?
Yeah, you know, our relationship's really grown, you know, throughout those 20 games. At first, I feel like we didn't really know, like, I didn't really know my expectations. Like, I didn't know what they expected me to do. Obviously, I knew that they had called me up to shoot the ball. So I was like, okay, I know I got to do that. But, you know, other than that, like, I didn't know what else they really wanted me to do good. So me and him kind of just, he had a talk with me, and he told me, like, we just need you to play solid defense. We, like, you know, play, not be a liability in every situation. Make shots when they come, and just do little things, like try to make winning plays, offensive rebound. And so I started doing those things, or attempting to do those things, the best of my ability. And I think that really showed him that, you know, I can come out there and compete, and I'm going to give you my all every time I'm on the floor.
Fellas, have you ever made an accident? Or hurt yourself before because you couldn't see what you were doing? Reaching in the backseat for something while you're driving? Crawling into the attic without a light? And shaving your balls? What? Who would do such a thing without proper care, guidance, and lighting to perform such a delicate and crucial task? Not me. Thankfully, Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. I now feel confident shaving my boys. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave. That's right, your shower shave clean and easy. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GNR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GNR. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Yeah, I think there's definitely these days in this NBA, there's a role. There's a lot of money to be made for guys that can shoot and play defense. Mm-hmm. You know, 3-and-D, obviously you've heard the term. Do you consider yourself a 3-and-D guy at the NBA level? Do you consider yourself more? Because like, so we tweeted, I'm sure you saw, you retweeted it. So I know you saw, we asked for some questions, right, from the listeners. Mm-hmm. And I saw several people compare you to Lou Will. And I was like, not at the NBA. I mean, at the NBA level, like Lou Will is taking you off the dribble. Lou Will is going to try to make the move and rock you and get you off balance so he can get to his spot and probably lean into you for the foul. You run around, catch and shoot. You can also get into the lane and you hit that floater, but I didn't see like a Lou Will type game. So does that enter your head? Are you trying to like carve a rollout 3-and-D? Are you trying to be more like, how does that go in your head, that process?
Yeah, I see myself as more of a 3-and-D player. I have to, obviously, you know, I got to get better on my defense, and that's going to be a big emphasis for me this summer, on ball, off ball. And a lot of that comes with, you know, being familiar with the players and, you know, getting stronger. So those are all things that I'll really emphasize this summer. But definitely see myself as more of a 3-and-D guy. I've never even heard the Lou Will comparison until I got, like, I had never heard that before. So it was new to me too.
I feel like, yeah, maybe the hair, you got like the haircut is a little similar. You got the little like thin goatee, like, because I don't see it.
Body type, but yeah, no, yeah. I don't see it either in your game.
Got the long arms, but like, I just don't see the game like that.
Yeah.
At the NBA level, at least. I don't know. Yeah, Lou Will doesn't run around and catch and shoot. You know, Lou Will wants the ball. Like, give me the rock.
Yeah. He's trying to create.
Yeah.
Don't limit yourself to that either, man. You got loads of potential. I mean, as the consistent minutes grow, I mean, you're going to find your own and figure out who you really need to be and are in this league for sure. But has any of the vets kind of taken you under their wing at all? Or how's the chemistry on the squad? What's it been like playing next to John Wall, Kelly Olynyk, guys like that?
Yeah, you know, they really helped me adjust quickly. You know, they told me what to expect when I'm going into the game. Probably the biggest guys that helped me the most are Kelly Olynyk. He's a big piece. John Wall talks to me a lot. DJ Augustine and Avery Bradley were all probably my biggest. Those are probably my top four in terms of, you know, who looked out for me the most and who helped me in situations the most and helped me know what to expect when I'm getting into these games.
Yeah, those are the four vets on this team. And shout out to Kelly Olynyk. That came out of nowhere. He was playing amazing basketball.
Definitely.
You know, I don't know how much you pay attention to the noise in the news, but the whole Victor Oladipo stuff, the trade, blah, blah, blah. People were saying, oh, the Rockets ended up with Kelly Olynyk. I was one of those guys. I was like, we ended up with, like, that's what we did?
Yeah.
Whole thing. But shit, Kelly Olynyk balling, man. 19-9, like 4 assists.
Yeah.
Crazy efficiency. So really cool to see. What was it like being on a squad that, you know, is almost like a pickup team, man? Like every night I had somebody new, injuries, 8 men only. Like, what is that like? Because as a fan, seeing the injury report every night, I was just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a lot of adjusting because you really don't know who even going to play every night. Like, we kind of just walked into the gym, warmed up, and then 25 minutes before the game, we're like, all right, these are 8 guys. And sometimes it would even be like a guy who hurt. We just got to suit them up so that we can play so they don't cancel the game because you need 8 people. And so, it was just a lot of adjusting, a lot of going with the flow. Obviously, we were extremely unlucky with the injuries this year. And, you know, hopefully it won't be like that again so we can get some consistency within the rotations and, you know, people knowing their role.
I was also going to ask, so I'm sprinkling in some fan questions, some listener questions. King Ach, 19. He asks, what's your favorite spot to shoot from? Corner, wing, top of the key. My guess is anywhere. That's my guess.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Honestly, it really doesn't matter, to be honest. Corner's probably the easiest. I would say it's the easiest just because it's the closest one. But I don't know.
Are you sure? Because I've seen you pull up from super deep and like when you
definitely not easier. What are you getting, Eddie?
Well, when you look, I don't know. I'm not an NBA player, right? I just hoop at the freaking gym when I try. But
that's Roosh's range, though. I mean,
that's what I do. I shoot. I don't shoot like you, but I shoot pretty good for, you know, being a guy at the gym. But I found like when I let it fly, like when I don't have to measure it, that's when I hit, and I usually scoot back further. So I would imagine for someone like you, when you don't have to measure it, because when you're closer up, don't you got to measure it? And when you're further back, you can just let it fly. Or am I just wrong?
I don't. I just see some space. I just shoot the ball, man.
Space line gone. Letter bug. All right. That's fair. And I love that. I mean, shoot or shoot. And you know, it is what it is. So going forward here, I mean, where do you see yourself next year? I mean, what are some of your goals within the league and this team? I mean, what are you going to be working on over the summer?
I'm really trying to get stronger. That's my biggest emphasis. Like, I need to put on some muscle just so I can, you know, deal with the physicality and, you know, just the physicality of being posted up by bigger players and getting switched on to, you know, really strong guards and being able to play night in and night out, increasing my durability. My defense for sure. My, you know, working on my techniques, you know, closing out, containing the dribble, off ball defense, you know, low man and stuff like that. And then obviously, you know, fine tuning things like my playmaking, trying to become a better playmaker, better ball handler so that I can, you know, if I need to extend and that into my game, I can, it's something that I can do effortlessly.
For sure. Have you been with your trainer like for a long time now, or is this just a guy you recently met?
Yeah, this is my second year. I've been working out with him since I left college.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously his thing with me is just I'm getting paid to be a shooter. So like obviously making shots is my calling, but you know, we try to really emphasize, you know, we really try to work on things that I need to develop. So, you know, back to playmaking and ball handling and finishing in the lane and different things like that.
If you had to pick somebody to emulate in terms of your style, also factoring in like your height and your size, so 6'3", if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick?
Just someone I come out on my game after?
Yeah.
Probably Bradley Beal.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, come off screens like that. I mean, Houston would be pretty proud of that for sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's always, no matter the level of Bradley Beal you are, I'm playing like him. I mean, that's going to keep you around forever.
Definitely.
And just the way that guy moves and just the versatility in his scoring.
Mm-hmm. And also, forgive me if something's happened and I like have not seen it, but have you had talks with the team, with the Rockets to come back? Like, do you know your outlook or is that still all in the works?
Yeah, I really don't know much on that part yet. I just know they want me working out with them over the summer.
Oh, that's great.
So that they can see my development. So I'm going to be going back down there, I think, next week to start back working out with them. And I think once we get closer to the pre-agency period, we'll really know what's going on in terms of, you know, me coming back or stuff like that.
Are you talking working out with the team, like just working out with the team, or you mean summer league?
Just working out with the team and summer league. I think, I mean, they haven't said anything about summer league yet, but I'm sure I'm going to, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you guys could freaking go out and win summer league depending on who they bring out there. I mean,
definitely. We could have a really good summer league team.
For sure.
I mean, look, the team has a lot of good young talent, man. I was actually going to ask, what is it like playing? We already talked about Kevin Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. What's it like playing with KJ Martin and Jayshon Tate?
Man, those are probably my close. Those three are probably who I'm the closest with on the team, just because we all around the same age. But you know, Jayshon, just him being like the all around player he is, like he's so like he's good at everything. Like he might not be great at one specific thing, but he's good at everything. So you can put him in any position, and he's gonna succeed regardless of what. Like if you want to play the point, he can bring it up, set you up in offense. He can guard the best player on another team. He can make open shots. You know, he's good at finishing in the paint. So he's good at, you know, he's just good at everything. And KJ, he was shooting the ball lights out towards the end of the year. I was like, I don't know what got into you, bro, but you shooting the ball crazy. But KJ, you know, he wants to be so good. Like his work ethic is ridiculous. And he's just a good dude. Like, he has your best interest at heart, and he wants the team to win more than anything. You know, playing with those guys is great, you know, night in and night out. And, you know, we're just trying to develop that chemistry and continue to get a feel for each other. So that hopefully we can bring something, you know, make something happen out here in Houston.
Talking about putting on muscle, man, and getting stronger around the paint and everything. Those are two guys right there that could bully you around a little bit. I mean, just practicing with those guys. I mean, if you can get after those guys and keep up with them and stay strong in front of them, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Who were some of those guys in, outside of the Rockets that have bullied you around a little bit? I mean, that just, I mean, tough dudes that are like, oh shit, I got to toughen up, man. I got to put on some muscle.
Man, Drew Holiday was one. When he got the drive into the basket, he was shouldering me and stuff. I'm like, bro, dang, I need to get in the weight room. He's strong. Chris Middleton made me feel kind of little one time. He drove and like shouldered me, and I like almost fell.
He's long.
But if I can get to the point where I can take a Jayshon Tate shoulder when he drives into the basket, I think I'll.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I mean, and I was also going to say, you, KJ, and Jayshon are, in my opinion, three great examples of the new regime of the Rockets being able to find like talent under the radar, right? You were undrafted. They moved up and got KJ with a really late second round pick. Jayshon was undrafted as well, got him from Australia. So I really like, you know, kind of how they've been developing the young talent that they see. And by the way, my nickname for Jayshon is Drayshon because he reminds me of Draymond Green. I call him Drayshon. So HTX Drew, shout out to HTX Drew. He asked, just to switch from basketball for just a second. He asked, back when you were at U of H, what was your favorite spot to grab food?
Ooh.
Frenchies, perhaps?
I did go to Frenchies a lot. a lot. But there's a place, you know, the Breakfast Club. That's probably one of my favorite places in Houston. Shout out Breakfast Club, man. Great food, great people. Just a great time.
Do you get the chicken and waffles or the shrimp and grits? I always get the shrimp and grits.
Oh, you got to go chicken and waffles.
Okay.
You gotta go chicken.
I'm sorry. I'm tripping. It's I think it's catfish. They had the catfish.
It's catfish and grits. Yeah.
Catfish and grits. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Never had that. Zach is in Minnesota. Zach, if you ever come down to Houston, I'll take you there.
Okay. You gotta stop by the catfish, but never eaten one of those things.
Caught a few catfish.
They are ugly as hell.
Minnesota thing.
I couldn't imagine it. The thing just staring at you. They'd probably chop that up.
Wanted to ask you, Armani, I don't know if this is on your radar at all, but I might be quoting this wrong, but you have the most threes made by anyone in NBA history through their first 20 games. Or it's 17.
First 20?
17 or 20, something like that.
I knew when it happened through 17. I didn't know if it.
So it's one of those. It might be both. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, it's pretty awesome. I was just going to ask, like,
either way, you made a record.
How does it feel? Undrafted rookie coming in, making history. Like, what does that feel like? Does that register? Do you just kind of move on to the next thing? Like,
it's a good accomplishment. You know, it's a good start just to know that, you know, that I'm finding at least a little bit of success in the league. And, but you know, there's bigger things that I want to accomplish. And, you know, but it's a great accomplishment for me to be, you know, coming from not being drafted, you know, to my journey through the G League and stuff like that, to be able to come in and just, you know, set a record that early in my career. It's definitely a great feeling.
Couple more and we'll get you out of here. I know you're from Texas, but was Houston your team growing up, or did you have a team at all? An NBA team?
I don't know if I should say this.
Do it. Let it out, man.
He's going to say the Spurs.
You can't change the roots.
No, not no Spurs fan, man. I grew up.
You hated the Rockets growing up. You did. There it is.
I grew up a Lakers fan, man. Woo! My dad was a Lakers fan. So, you know, just growing up in a household where it was none but Kobe.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was a huge Lakers fan. So to me, playing on the Lakers floor was such a big thing to me because, like, it might not have meant a lot to a lot of people, but like to me, I was just a Lakers fan since I was little. So growing up playing on the Lakers court was like a dream come true.
Yeah, so Armani, Kobe guys as well.
In my day job, I'm a lawyer and I live in LA. And I play I played in like a league that lawyers play in. Okay, so just like some little whatever lawyers.
Bum ass lawyer league.
playing at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday night trying to get a run in. But they have an all-star game. And I was, for my team, I was, quote, the all-star. And the game, right? The game, I'm 5'11", 180, Armani, so take that for what it's worth. The game was at Staples. And so I played a game on the court at Staples. And I just remember thinking, like, I looked up, and you see all the jerseys, and you see all the mm-hmm. players, and I was just like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So you walk out there, and you see you see Kobe banner in the little in the light. You see all the championship banners. And the night we played them, they actually unveiled their championship banner from the bubble.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So like I sat out there and I watched it. I was like, man, this is kind of it's a Staples Center. You know, I was like, you know, not many people get to see a championship banner unveiled. So I thought that was pretty dope.
Who's your GOAT? Kobe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's after Kobe?
Oh.
Yeah. Who's number two? That's the
tough one.
I'm a LeBron advocate. I'm a fight for LeBron.
Fair. He's your generation, that's for sure. So I respect that because I still don't hear a ton of your generation. But the part of it's because you guys play with him. I mean, play against him.
Yeah. But, so I mean, you see him play so much. It's kind of you see everything he does. Like I've watched a lot of Jordan highlights and stuff, like all his documentaries. But I feel like just seeing him play in person, it doesn't resonate the same.
We're both born LeBron.
In 98, right? 1998.
Yeah, 98. Yes, sir.
Okay. So Jordan was gone. Yeah.
Damn. No, we're both MJ guys, but I've always told Roosh, and I've been saying this for a while now, that if LeBron got his five just by pure longevity and peak longevity, he's going to pass mm-hmm. MJ with his fifth. So I don't want it to happen. I don't want him to get five. So
let me say two things about that real quick. Number one, the bubble is still, the jury's still out on the bubble for me.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, man, I want to see how these
Dude,
playoffs
mentally,
go.
Come on. That was hard as hell.
Man, I won't even go into that, but I'm just saying the jury's still out on the bubble. And second, I personally think if you pick LeBron, like there's no argument for that against that.
Yeah.
Like LeBron, he could be the GOAT too. But like you said, I grew up like as a kid, that's what it was for me. Mike,
yeah,
Bass Jam. So it just is what it is.
Yeah.
Well shit. Armani, we appreciate your time, Zach.
Hey, I got one last question here, two last questions real quick. Give me your NBA finals here. Who do you got in the finals? And champion.
I'm not betting against the Lakers. I got the Lakers coming out the West.
Love it.
And out the East. I think you got to go with the Nets, man.
The East is tough. It's really tough.
The East is tough. It's so hard because like Philadelphia has Embiid and he's such a matchup nightmare. Like, and you really can't like, I got to go with the Nets. I just don't think you can stop the Nets. I don't think you can beat the Nets in seven games.
So Nets in seven, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm going to go Nets in seven.
That's my exact pick. It's been my pick since day one of the season, so we'll see if it holds.
You're saying Nets in seven over the Lakers, you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
As the seventh seed, the first seventh seed since like 1982.
I'm saying Lakers. I'm saying Lakers over the Nets.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. You just don't bet against LeBron. You just don't.
Last question, though, for you, Marnie. We'll get you out of here. What do you like to do outside of hoop? What do you like to do for fun? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I like to play golf. I'm not that good at it, but I do like to play golf. It's just a good change of pace from basketball.
Can you break 100?
No.
That's all right. You'll get there.
Not yet. I'm getting there. I'm gonna get there, though. But I like to play golf. I play video games, you know. I'm starting to get into fishing a little bit. Just being outdoors probably is the biggest thing because, you know, get some sunlight. Enjoy this good weather down here in Texas. I don't know what it's like in Minnesota.
Oh, summers are beautiful, but winter's a little bit of a bitch.
Yo, let me ask you actually real quick before we get you out of here. It's like the 10th time we've said that. Have you seen this Kwame Brown stuff?
Oh, man.
What do you
just hearing his name makes you laugh.
Yeah, no, he's been going at people. Cat, I don't know what they did to make him that mad, but he pissed off. And he's going crazy at everybody. Every day I get on Twitter, I'm like, bro, he's going at somebody else. It's hilarious. But it's hilarious, man.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, like, I mean, I don't know him personally, but just from the stories that I remember I used to hear, he's just one of those guys you don't mess with. And I didn't know he was, like, from the backwoods country like that. So
yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know he was like that either.
Yeah, and so that makes him, like, to me, just extra, like, don't mess with Farmer Brown.
Don't mess with that dude.
Don't mess with that dude. Well,
every vehicle he's in, it looks like he's in the Serengeti in half of them.
Well, that's why I said that, because Armani was talking about how he likes to fish and play golf. And, like, you know, it's just like some Southern type stuff. And that just reminded me of Kwame. Like, I just feel like he's out, like, on a tractor in the back in the F-150, like, just whipping. These guys always pulled out those boots, you know, like. So,
anybody else on the team golf?
DJ Augustine played golf a lot.
There you go.
And a lot of the coaching staff play a lot.
Cool, cool.
I haven't went with any of them yet because I didn't. The one trip that we could have went and played golf, I didn't bring my club. But
yeah, shout out to DJ Augustine, man. I was at Texas at the same time as him, and that dude's hair in person is like, it's immaculate. It's crazy. I started a poll. I did a poll on Twitter one time saying who's got the cleaner edge up, DJ Augustine or Jalen Rose, and. Jalen Rose talked about it on ESPN, and a lot of people picked DJ Augustine, but I know it sounds crazy, but like, that man's hair is shining. I remember seeing him in the cafe in school and I was just like, what?
So, crazy story. When I was actually, I think I was in like maybe fifth grade, DJ Augustine and Kevin Durant were both at UT at the time. I actually got his autograph, him and KD autograph, really long time ago. And I still got the shirt from when he autographed it. And I was like, DJ, bro, you've been in the league too long, bro. Like, we on the same team now.
That's a trip.
That's crazy. I was like,
yeah, because you were in Austin, so you probably went to like the camps or something like that, right?
Yeah. I actually saw him at the mall, though. They walked the finish line. And I was like, is that? I was so young. My dad was like, oh, he's like, that's Kevin Durant. I was like, no, it's not. And then he signed. Long story short, they both in the league now. They've been there a long time, man.
That's crazy, man. Now you're playing against them and playing with them. So
exactly. It's crazy.
Well, cool, man. Armani. We won't hold you any longer. We appreciate all the time, man. We wish you nothing but the best moving forward. We'll be watching and keeping tabs on your career and hopefully have you back on the show sometime down the line. If there's anything you want to plug or any last things you want to say, go for it.
No, I'm all good, my man. I appreciate you.
No album coming out, no mixtape.
I ain't into music like that,
man. Oh, good. So last thing, I'm going to get the record straight.
Zach, how many times?
Hey, I found it. It's 17 games. It was the record of threes through 17 games. But just wanted to clear the record and really appreciate you coming on, man. But enjoy the summer and work on that golf game. I want to hear you break 100 by the end of it.
Yes, sir. I got you. Appreciate you, guys.
All right.
Hey, no
stay
doubt.
In touch, man. Take care.
Subscribe, rate, and all that. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.